You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
The corporate merger that isn't just fun in games. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There's news that Activision Blizzard, that's the big gaming company behind World of Warcraft and Call of Duty, is paying $6 million for King Entertainment. King does Candy Crush for smartphones. Ben Johnson, host of our sibling program, Marketplace Tech, has some of the strategy here.
Mobile gaming is a big area of growth, and it needs to be an area of growth for the older gaming company. Activision Blizzard has some mobile game titles, but it doesn't have as many as some of its competitors like Electronic Arts. The funny part here is King Entertainment has really only been successful at making one game. Candy Crush Saga, maybe to a lesser extent Candy Crush Soda Saga. But those are two of the mobile gaming industry's top titles, with mobile gaming projected to be a $36 billion industry this year alone. That might not be a bad buy. Activision Blizzard will be able to use Candy Crush for revenue, but it also might learn more from the Ireland-based company about how to build more profitable mobile games.
Ben Johnson hosts Marketplace Tech. Federal environmental regulators say VW didn't just rig its small diesel engines to cheat emissions rules, it also rigged bigger ones. While VW has admitted the problem with the 11 million small diesels, the company says the EPA has it wrong about the bigger ones. Carl Brower is Senior Director of Insights at Kelley Blue Book.
Volkswagen is denying that those larger engines, those 3-liter diesel engines, have this process going on, that they have any kind of a defeat device that's changing the way the engines run between regular driving and testing. And maybe that's true. Maybe somehow the EPA got it wrong. The problem, again, is that that's what they did with the other engines. They spent a year denying that the other engines were a problem. They said it was a testing issue on the EPA's part before finally admitting to the problem after a year. So this initial response from them, it's following the same exact pattern that happened last time.
The EPA's new complaint involves Porsche, Audi, and VW SUVs, plus the Audi A6 sedan, which had been a big Consumer Reports recommendation. U.S. Steel of Pittsburgh, number two domestically, is set to report third-quarter profits and losses late today. The strong U.S. dollar and weak demand around the world are hurting steel exports and profits, even though there's been a lot of cost-cutting there, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
A third-quarter loss for U.S. Steel would make it three in a row. And it's not for lack of investment or good business planning right across the industry, says analyst John Anton at IHS.
The steel industry in the United States is not in good shape. Prices are down 30 to 40%. The problem with the U.S. is that imports are flowing.
The glut of cheap imports comes mostly from China. Gary Huffbauer at the Peterson Institute says China has built a huge steel industry, but now the economy's slowing. So the government has funneled in massive subsidies to keep mills from closing and laying off workers.
Steel shipped from these mills to the ports maybe gets the very preferential rates. It's all state railway. Surely they get bank loans, and that's what keeps them from going bankrupt.
U.S. producers have accused China of unfairly dumping low-cost steel in the U.S. That could lead to punitive duties and a bit of relief for the domestic industry. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Who will be the U.S. ambassador to Mexico in the final years of President Obama's term? This is a tough question. Roberta Jacobson, the State Department Secretary for Western Hemisphere Affairs, has been nominated, at least. From time to time, we check in for the views of Leon Krause, reporter and anchorman at Univision's KMEX in Los Angeles. It is great to reconnect, Leon.
Hi, David. How are you?
Good. I remember it was early last summer, I think, when President Obama nominated Roberta Jacobson to serve as the next U.S. ambassador to Mexico. And here we are. We're getting into the Christmas season, I think. She has not been confirmed by the U.S. Senate. What is up with this?
Well, David, let me start by saying that few embassies are more important for American interests than the one in Mexico City. I mean, perhaps only after the ones in Moscow and Beijing. Mexico is, as you know, America's third largest trading partner. The commercial exchange between the two countries sustains over 6 million American jobs. You would think that that would be enough to guarantee at least the most basic set of commitments from Washington. And you would be wrong now. The Senate has inexplicably delayed the confirmation of Roberta Jacobson, who's a thoroughly qualified candidate as ambassador to Mexico.
But it probably is explicable in a sense. I think Roberta Jacobson, she was instrumental in the thawing of relations between Washington and Havana. And there are some in Congress who haven't forgotten this.
Who opposes Jacobson and why? That's the question. And according to several reports, Senators Robert Menendez and Marco Rubio are driving the delay. Why? It seems to be Cuba. Rubio and Menendez have both loudly opposed President Obama's policy of rapprochement with Cuba, and they are jeopardizing a relationship that's worth $1.4 billion. And that's not smart foreign policy. And honestly, I think it might not even be good politics, especially for Rubio, because believe me, the Mexican-American electorate will not take this lightly. And if Rubio wants to win 2016, he will need the Mexican-American vote.
If there ever is a confirmation, there will be a lot on the new ambassador's plate.
Trade is booming, education is booming, tourism is booming, but there are also many, many challenges. Violence in Mexico is still going strong. Corruption and impunity in Mexico are as bad as ever. They have to put sensible foreign policy ahead of petty politics and just do this thing.
All right. The views of Leon Krause. He's an anchorman at Univision's KMEX in Los Angeles. Leon, thank you.
Thank you, David.
And Amazon, which wiped out many a bookstore, is opening the first real bookstore of its own, the kind with doors where you go in and find a book. It's in Seattle. Amazon seems a little noncommittal, with an official telling the Seattle Times, "We hope this isn't our only one. We'll see." New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Jerez, host of This is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.